You know, last week I mentioned that some sermons are like an apple pie. They're really good, but they're soon gone. Other sermons are like an apple seed. You plant it, and you take care of it, and before long you can have all the apple pie you want. And so this morning I'd like to see if I can give you another apple seed. Something that can be a blessing to you, not just this morning, but for the rest of your life as you walk with the Lord. I want to talk to this morning about faith. Now you can turn to the book of Hebrews if you, and put your fingers on speed dial, because I've got a lot of different scriptures that we're going to look at. We talk about we're believers. We're faith folks. But are we really believers or are we doubters? How much do we walk in faith? And how little do we walk in faith? Not just in our own opinion, but in God's opinion of us. Now in the book of Hebrews, in the 11th chapter, in verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him or to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, you know, we're human. And if we, unless we're the Grinch that stole Christmas or the original Bah Humbug Ebenezer Scrooge, we like to put a smile on people's face. Well, the way to put a smile on God's face is to walk in faith. The way to put a frown on God's face is to walk in doubt and unbelief. If you really want to put a smile on God's face, walk in faith. The writer of Hebrews says, if you don't live in faith, you cannot please God. He doesn't go any wishy-washy way here and say you may not or it perhaps not. He says if you do not live in faith, you cannot please God. You say, well, preacher, I just don't have any faith. I hope you're wrong. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. The book of Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8 of Ephesians 2 says, for by grace are you saved, how? Through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. You know, if you don't have any faith at all, you're not headed to heaven. He says, by grace are you saved through faith. To get saved, you've got to have some faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at some of those scriptures, other scriptures in just a moment. But faith in Jesus is the entryway into salvation and eternal life. God's grace and our response to that grace in faith leads to salvation. By grace are you saved through faith. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Verse 3 again. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Paul, as he writes to those Roman Christians, he said, God has given every one of us a measure of faith. You had to have that to be saved, and you get it as a result of being saved. You have a measure of faith. So for somebody to say, when I preach, I'd like to be more of a faith person, but I just don't have any faith, is to misunderstand the Bible. Because the Bible says that God has given you a measure of faith. The Bible says faith is necessary for salvation. Now, how much faith you have probably varies among us all. Do you remember on several occasions Jesus said to the disciples, "Where is your faith?" Or, "Oh, ye of little faith." As if he was disappointed with them. Maybe even disgusted with them. Because he knew he'd given them faith. And yet, they didn't display faith. They didn't live in faith. They were not acting in faith. And as a result, Jesus said, "Where is it? Where is it?" But then, you know, on another occasion, there was a guy that was not even a Jew. And Jesus said about him, "I have not found so great a faith, no, not in all of Israel." Jesus was just astonished. He said, "Here's this guy that's got wonderful faith, and he's not even one of the Jewish people that has been brought up in all the law and working with God. This is just a Roman. And yet he has great faith." Great faith. So, you know, you've got a measure of faith, but what'd you do with it? Has it grown any? Would the Lord be disappointed with your level of faith or my level of faith? Or would he look at me and say, "Man, you got great faith"? Would he look at you and say, "You have great faith"? And we can have faith in different areas, and it may be great in some areas and not so great in other areas, but why our faith? Our faith makes all the difference. Now, if you flip on back to the first chapter of the book of Romans, to the words that started the Protestant Reformation, verse 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, and is written, the just shall live by faith." God's people are to live by faith. Now, you know, of course, Martin Luther grew up and, you know, and was a priest in the Catholic Church, and everything had to do with rules and regulations and penances and, you know, and indulgences, and, you know, you pay the enough and you can get out of purgatory, you pay enough and do enough good works, you can get out of hell, and all that kind of stuff. And then suddenly the Holy Spirit quickened to Martin Luther's mind. Wait a minute. The Bible says God's people live by faith. Not by rules, not by regulations, not by ordinances, not by how much you pay the priest to say prayers over you or over the dead, but the just live by faith. We live by faith. Is our faith small or is it great? Now I go back, we're still in Romans. Romans 10. You say, "Well, preacher, that sounds good, but where am I going to get any faith?" Romans 10, verse 17. "Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God." You build your faith out of this book. You build your faith out of this book. And it's not just hearing sermons. It's not just reading the Bible. It's not just teaching, hearing a Sunday school lesson. It's hearing in your heart. It's hearing in your heart. The more we allow the Spirit of God to speak to our hearts, the more we allow God's word to pour into us, the more faith we can have and the greater our faith can be. You know, some people like to define faith as stepping out into the dark. No, you step out on the word of God. Amen. You step out on the word of God. Anybody, you know, and sometimes we create religious nuts because people say, well, I'm going to be in faith, and they're in faith with something that God did not promise them. They're in faith for something, they think they're in faith for something that God would deny them if if they were face to face with the Lord. Faith is stepping out on the word of God. Whatever God has said, that is what we believe. That's what we're going to do. We step out on it. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And the amazing thing is, some folks think they're going to be great Christians and they go to church about 4 or 5 times a year. Not good at English, but it ain't happening. We have to spend time with God and in His Word. And the more time we spend with God and in His Word, the more our faith can grow. But we also have to be listening with our heart, and with the idea is God said it and I want to and I believe it. You know, a few years ago there was a statement that became sort of popular. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, God said it, that settled it, whether you believed it or not. There are a lot of folks that don't want to believe what God said. There are folks that don't want to believe what God said about sin and things that are sin. But if God said they were sin, they're sin. There are folks that don't want to believe about the way to heaven. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody goes to heaven except through me. And anybody who wants to believe and have faith in some other way to heaven except through the Lord Jesus Christ is not going to make it. It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, truth, and life, that gets us to heaven. As Peter told those folks, neither is there salvation in any other than in the name of Jesus. Faith comes from knowing and hearing the Word of God and allowing the Word of God to become real and settled in our hearts. Now, sometimes I pray that we will be open to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Like Martin Luther, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said something to him that he'd never heard before. He was reading along in there and the just shall live by faith. And it clicked. It clicked. Now, Martin Luther could have said, well, this isn't the way our church teaches it. This isn't what I learned in seminary. This isn't what I learned from my older priest and those in my fellowship. So it must not be right. But instead, he said, this is what God said, and it's in His Word, so it must be right, no matter what I've been taught. And sometimes we have to open our hearts and our minds to allow the Spirit of God to hear what God says. Faith comes and grows in our heart as we hear the Word of God. But faith, faith is not a feeling. You can say, well, I just don't feel like I've got much faith. I don't feel real confident in this. But you know, faith is what you say and what you do. Faith is what you say and what you do. We're still in Romans 10. Go back a couple of verses. Verse 12 of Romans 10. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You hear the word of God, and you say, I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, my Lord. I believe that he died on the cross and he rose again and he's coming again. I receive him. You say something to go to salvation. You say something. And then there are times when it's not just that you say something, you also do something. We won't look there, but if you remember in the book of James, James talks about people who say certain things, but he said, I will show you my faith by what I do. By the actions that I take, I will show you my faith. And folks, sometimes we exhibit our faith through what we say, sometimes by what we do. Great example of both is the woman in the with the issue of blood. You remember she'd been sick for a dozen years or more, and she was broke because she'd spent all of her money on doctors, and she was getting worse and worse and worse. Looked like she's going to die, and then she heard about Jesus, and she said, "If I can just touch him, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be made well." Now, the King James says, and she said, some translations say, and she kept saying, if I can just touch him, if I can just touch him. And not only did she say it, she did it. She said it and she did it. Now, I think it struck me in recent months that sometimes, we think about a lot of the people that Jesus healed as he just walked in and said, bang, you're healed, and they didn't do anything. But think with me for a minute. Think logically. Think about that guy, you know, he's got the shriveled up hand. And Jesus said, stretch forth your hand. Now, he could have argued with Jesus, said, man, you need your eyes examined. I can't stretch forth my hand. Can't you see it shriveled up? Somewhere or other, he had to start trying to twitch a finger or two. And once he began to twitch a few fingers, and next thing he says, he stretched out his hand and it was made whole like the other. He just didn't wait there, and Jesus didn't go grab his hand and do something to it. He said, you stretch forth your hand. And in faith, he did something. In faith, he did something. You know, there were at least several cases where Jesus, guy's laying down there on a pallet, a bed. Jesus said, get up, take your bed and walk. Think about it. How do you get out of bed? Some of us is harder than it was 30 years ago. But we start twitching a knee, you know, depending on your particular body condition. You may lean over and grab the edge of the bed with your arm, or you may begin to twitch a knee and try to get up on your knee. But you begin to make a movement. if you want to get out of bed. And for those guys, Jesus said, rise, take up your bed and walk. They could have stayed there, not twitched a muscle, and they'd have died in that position. But instead, they began to move a knee, a foot, an arm, a leg, something or other. And they said, hey, I got some body parts that are working that weren't working before. And before you know it, they're on their feet and they're rolling that thing up and putting it over their shoulder and going out. You see, you build faith as you study the Word of God, and you exhibit faith by what you say and how you act. Now, that is so, so important. Turn with me back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. I want to read about some sad folks. Hebrews chapter 4. And let's see, first few verses of chapter 4, Hebrews. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should come to seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. He says you miss out on the promises and the word of God if you don't mix faith with what you hear. You think about it. 3 million people or so heard a word about going into the promised land, and how many of them made it? And why did they make it? They had faith. They said, God said it, and it don't matter how big those giants are and how tall those walls are, we going in. The other 2,900,999 whatever, all died in the wilderness. They heard, but they didn't mix it with faith. How many times in a worship service, people sitting in the aisle and one hears and they mix it with faith and they walk the aisle and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, and then they're on the way to heaven. And another person sitting in the same congregation hears the same word, but they don't mix any faith with it, and they go out the door to eternal destruction. That's sad to me that God comes and he speaks to our heart and he wants to build our lives, and instead we don't mix any faith with it. We read a promise and we don't believe it. We don't mix any faith with it. And we miss out. Let's go to one more scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 20. And this is why it matters, folks. The whole thing I've talked about this morning, this is why it matters. For all the promises of God are in him, are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Everything in this book that God promised you, he says, yes, and amen, or so be it, to you having it. That's why it matters. Because the promises of God are for us. But if we don't receive them, we don't mix faith with them, we miss out. Let me see if I can illustrate it a couple of different ways. Imagine if you had this young lady. She's a waitress in a little cafe. She's living on minimum wage. She's got a little apartment, one bedroom, one room. She's fighting the rats and the roaches. She's living on beanie weenies and cheese and crackers. And then one day a young man comes in and he sits at her table and he gets to talking to her and they get to liking one another, and after a while they get married. And he takes her to his house and she never seen anything like it. Nice house. Now she can take her beanie weenies and her cheese and crackers and climb into a closet, because all she's ever known is just a little room. Or she can begin to enjoy everything that's hers, because his name and her name's on a marriage certificate, and everything that he's got now belongs to her. I got a preacher friend who says, you know, he was older, a little older when he got married. He thought it's going to be cool. This woman's going to have my name. But he says, you know, he found out when she got his name, she got his money. She took his checkbook and wrote checks. She took his credit card and bought stuff. You know, this young lady, she can go and enjoy what's in the food pantry, what's in the refrigerator, what's in the deep freeze. She can enjoy all the clothes that he's got in the closet for her. She can enjoy the pool and the spa or the hot tub. She can drive the car that he provides for her and enjoy all the blessings that are hers because of who her husband is. Now, folks, the devil wants you to still live in a closet. He wants you poor, sick, and sorry. He doesn't want you enjoying the blessings of God. He will tell you, you need to be poor, sick, and sorry so you'll be humble. Well, let me ask you, men, are you a better husband than God? Now, my wife taught Sunday school this morning. If she'd have come in and dressed in rags, and she'd have said, my husband won't buy me any clothes. She said, I'm not feeling too well because he won't let me go to the doctor and he hadn't fed me anything in 4 days because he's trying to keep me humble. You'd think that sorry rascal of a preacher, he'd get up there trying to preach to us and he treats his wife this way. And the devil wants you to think God wants to treat you that way. God doesn't want to treat you that way. God wants you blessed. That's why all of the promises of God are in Him, yea and amen. And when you learn those promises of God, and when you mix faith with those promises of God, and you believe and act on those promises of God, you go from being poor, sick, and sorry to being so blessed. So blessed. It's sad that so many of us as believers live way below what God would want to do for us. We miss out on so much God would like to give us, to bless us. One reason, we don't know the promises. Another reason, we allow the devil to say, you don't deserve them. Guess what? You don't. It's all by His grace and His mercy that we're blessed. It's by His grace and it's His mercy. But praise God that He so loved us that He wants to give us His grace and His mercy and His blessing, so that when we come to, you know, the devil will say, oh boy, heaven's going to be wonderful. Heaven's going to be wonderful. Don't expect much here. There's a sandwich meat for that, bologna. God wants you blessed. That doesn't mean we're all going to drive Cadillacs or we're all going to live in the Biltmore house. But there's so many blessings that God has for us if we learn them and we mix faith with what God says to us in His Word. That's an apple seed you can plant. And it'll make a difference in the way you live. It'll make a difference financially, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for your marvelous promises, the hundreds of promises. Thank you for all the good things that you give us. And Father, I pray that we'll learn those promises and that we'll mix faith with them. And that as a result, we'll find out that you're a better husband than any man here. You're a better father than any man here. As Jesus told, if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good things to those who love Him? Father, teach us to believe, to accept, to reach for, and to receive your good gifts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we have the invitation, if you need to receive Jesus Christ, please do so. Don't mix faith with what you've heard and leave here as a child of God. If you need to come to the altar or you need to make another decision, we invite you to come.